House Bill 1025 from the on behalf of the Committee on Health and Human Services is the request of the Department of Human Services. House Bill 1025, proponents of 1025.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Betty Oldenkamp, the Director of the Division of Mental Health for the Department of Human Services, here on behalf of House Bill 1025. The handouts that are coming around I'll reference as I speak this morning. The first page of that is just a map of the service areas for the community mental health centers. There's references to the service areas within the bill. The second page is just a list of acronyms for your reference. I will try to explain those that I use as I speak, but there are some other pages of the handouts that also have acronyms on them. House Bill 1025 repeals the provisions related to the State Interagency Coordinating Network Council, or ICNC, and revises the provisions related to the Local Interagency Teams, or LITs. This bill will reduce duplication at both the state and local levels and then empower local communities to determine their own membership purpose and function. If you'd like to take a look at the green handout, it's the third one in. What that handout does for you is outlines the interagency efforts that are currently on a state level that involve the Division of Mental Health, and these are only efforts that address children's mental health services. There's probably an equally long list that deals with adult services. The columns across there with the X's in will give you a sense of the membership of each of those groups. The second row down on the first page is the Interagency Coordinating Network Council, which we refer to in this bill, and that's in bold type. We want to repeal the statutes that pertain to the Interagency Coordinating Network Council because the purpose and function of that council are duplicated by other efforts at the state level. And if you take a look at the peach-colored sheet, which should be next in that handout, it's going to outline for you for the Interagency Coordinating Network Council, which is the first column on the right, what the functions are of that group and the membership of it. The center column is a statewide advisory council that is also created in state statute. The column on the left is reflects the state placement committee. And as you can see, the duplication that exists there, the first row speaks to a planning requirement. And just as a matter of demonstration, I did bring along a copy of our plan for statewide mental health services. This plan is actually created by the State Advisory Council, which is the one in the middle. It addresses both children's services and adult services and is a two-year plan. The next item on there is in regard to reviewing placements, and there you can see we have the ICNC and the State Placement Committee that both deal with reviewing placement of children. The third row deals with looking at service gaps or establishing needed services in the state, and there you can see that all three entities at the present time are dealing with that issue. The last row gives you an idea of the membership. The ICNC is an 8-member committee. The Advisory Council is a 22-member committee. The specific positions of the Advisory Council are designated in state statute, and those are governor's appointees. The State Placement Committee is a 12-member committee. For both the ICNC and the State Placement Committee, the respective department secretaries designate which of their staff will sit on those two committees. In addition to being in state statute, the Advisory Council, which was the center column on that sheet, is also a requirement for participation in the Center for Mental Health Services Block Grant. It's a federal grant that provides us with $900,000 a year for children's mental health services, and that's why we've chosen to repeal the ICNC and not the Advisory Council. The second portion of this bill deals with the local interagency teams, and what we're doing there is we are removing the mandate, the requirement to have an interagency team. What we want to do is allow for to take away the prescriptive membership and function and allow a permissive statute that would allow the teams to continue to exist and preserve the civil immunity for the members of those teams. By making the statute less prescriptive, the teams would be able to determine the membership that best fits their communities. The statute currently identifies the membership of the local teams as a special education administrator, someone from court services, child protection services, a mental health professional, and a parent of a child with a serious emotional disturbance. With the changes that we are proposing, the local teams could now expand the membership. They may choose to include a clergy, a healthcare professional, or someone from the Boys and Girls Clubs, whatever best fits their local community. When we were dealing with this bill on the House side, it was amended. That amendment occurred on page 2, lines 12 and 13. The initial bill had the membership of a parent of a child with a serious emotional disturbance as a may, and that was amended, and it now says that any local agency, interagency team shall include a parent. So the one requirement would be that parents continue to be involved. The other thing that we will do by taking away the prescriptive statutes dealing with the function is the local interagency teams can now determine for themselves what they want to address with those. In the past, they've been limited to dealing with issues related to children with serious emotional disturbance. This would allow them to broaden that scope if they would also choose to discuss issues maybe related to alcohol and drug abuse with teens. The discussions around this have been occurring actually probably over the last 2 or 3 years. Some of you may recall that last year there was a pretty comprehensive bill that made changes to the mental health statutes, and we didn't address this at that point in time because we were just not quite ready to do that. We've worked on it a lot since then. The pink sheet, which is the last page of the handout, kind of outlines for you the efforts that we have gone through to get to this point to be ready to introduce this bill. What we are actually proposing on the state level is that membership of that Interagency Coordinating Network Council, that we would merge that with our Advisory Council's Children's Subcommittee. There's a couple of people that are on that committee that aren't on that bigger advisory committee, and so we are going to be, and have already actually been inviting them to attend those meetings and participate in that. The other thing that we've done is we've worked with the state agencies involved, and that's towards the bottom of that pink page under fall of 2000, to draft a memorandum of understanding. The agencies involved are Education and Cultural Affairs, Human Services, Social Services, Health, Corrections, and the Unified Judicial System. Within these agencies, there is a strong commitment to interagency efforts at both the state and local level, and we didn't want to lose that commitment, that stated commitment, by making the changes in statutes. So we are going to enter a memorandum of understanding that involves those agencies. The Association of County Commissioners has also asked to become part of that, and we have drafted changes to the memorandum to include them. And that memorandum of understanding would get signed with successful passage of this bill and go to effect in July. I have a copy of the draft with me, but I didn't run copies for you. It's very brief. It basically just states our ongoing support of interagency efforts. I appreciate your attentiveness this morning, and I will stay by for questions if you have any. Thank you.
Because we have some time, does anybody have any questions of Betty? Senator McIntyre.
I may have missed it, but you said that on, I assume it's page 2 of the bill that I have, that the may on line 11 had been changed to a shall. And I may not have an updated copy. Has that occurred? I'm assuming that's
on the engrossed bill. It's actually line 12.
Okay.
I may have misstated that.
Okay. And I don't have a copy of the engrossed bill, apparently.
In the past, it said local interagency teams may include.
Yeah.
It now says any local interagency team shall include.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Betty, if I might, but still the local interagency teams are now still permissive.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but
if they do organize and establish one, and there is a serious emotional, you know, I mean, the parent, we'll have a parent involved in that, on that team.
That's correct, okay. Senator Olson.
Further questions? Senator Hamm.
How many children do you have under supervision or enrolled in your program, for lack of a better word?
The Division of Mental, the Community Mental Health Centers, through the funding provided by the Division of Mental Health, serve over 3,000 children each year with serious emotional disturbances.
Then as a follow-up,
yep.
Do you have any inpatient treatment centers, and if so, how many beds are available?
Within the Department of Human Services, there is the Human Services Agency in Yankton, and the adolescent inpatient beds there, there's a total of 67 beds. I believe that 16 of them are CD, and the rest are psychiatric. I'm not sure that the exact breakout between chemical dependency beds and psychiatric beds, but it's primarily psychiatric.
69, 16.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Would you, along that same line, would you be contracting services at all with, like, Avera McKinnon or your mental health?
Our contracts are only with the community mental health centers. Both Avera McKinnon, Sioux Valley, and Rapid City Regional West do have adolescent psychiatric beds, but we don't participate in the payment for those services.
Thank you. Further questions, Senator Hamm?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a follow-up that's totally unrelated, but I would really like your input if you don't mind, but if you choose not to answer. I think it was 2 years ago we passed a bill that said that the county will psychiatric test any person that is picked up that may be endangering themselves or others. And there's a 5-day holding period. My question is, presently in Rapid City, they take them from the jail instead of holding them in the jail and put them in the psychiatric ward at the hospital. Do you know of anybody else that might be contracting with maybe behavioral management or someone else? It's very expensive the way we're doing it. And I would just like to, if you don't mind.
I'll certainly try to answer that, Senator Hamm. What you're referring to is the provisions for emergency holds within the Chapter 27A, which is the Mental Health Code. It does allow for up to a 5-day hold. It doesn't mandate a 5-day hold. And within the first 24 hours, there needs to be an evaluation by a qualified mental health professional. The statute does require that the person be held in a regional facility unless one is not available. If one is not available, then they can be held in a jail. In the Rapid City area, obviously, a regional facility is available. At that time, this is Rapid City Regional West. The statute does not require, I don't believe, I'd have to pull to look for sure, that it be an inpatient psychiatric program. So if interested parties in a particular region were interested, they might be able to come up with an alternative. For example, in Pierre, St. Mary's Hospital is not a psychiatric facility, but it does have a crisis bed that's used, and that's got, you know, mental health staff that come in from the mental health center to provide the assessment and help with the supervision of the patient while they're in that stay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Betty, up to a 5-day hold, is that where we're at now? Is that a change since I enjoyed my vacation up from 3 days or 7 days?
No, I believe there was a change last year in the statutes, but we didn't change the length of the hold. We changed the criteria for involuntary commitment. It's within the first 24 hours they have to have the evaluation, and then if the mental health professional believes they meet the criteria, they can be held up to 5 days, or if it's a Saturday, Sunday, or holiday 6, and a Saturday, Sunday, and holiday 7. I mean, it's I don't know at what point it went from 3 to 5.
Well, maybe I'm incorrect. I just thought it, initially it was a 72-hour, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Further questions? Seeing none, are there further proponents of House Bill 1025? Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Terry Dosh. I'm the Executive Director of the South Dakota Council of Mental Health Centers. To clarify, I represent the association that in turn represents the interests of the 11 community mental health centers serving South Dakota. For example, the Dakota Mental Health Center in Mitchell, Behavior Management Systems in Rapid City, Northeastern Mental Health Center in Aberdeen. We just want to go on record this morning as being supportive of this legislation. I also have the pleasure of sitting on the Governor's Advisory Council on Mental Health Planning and Coordination. And being there, I recognize that as being the suitable forum for coordinating the activities of the local interagency teams to the degree that that sort of coordination needs to happen. I think it makes all the sense in the world to plug that with the strategic planning, the state planning functionality of providing services, mental health services in South Dakota. I also recognize the duplicity of the current infrastructure that we have. If you're in favor of unduplicating redundant infrastructure, then this is a good bill. I would also add to that that I started with the Council of Mental Health Centers in 97, and I'm aware of the fact that the ICNC met a couple of different times in that interim, but frankly, at the community level, where the centers are that I represent, we have seen little impact from the ICNC in the last many years. So it makes sense to repeal that functionality and put it where its intended function can be optimized with the Governor's Council. And the last thing I would say is that we are very much in support of retaining the local interagency team operations. Areas where those are set up, they're operating very, very well, and they're performing very critical function. And the ability to support the flexibility, the local flexibility that Betty talked about, I think also makes sense. So to summarize, if you want to optimize the functionality of what the ICNC was intended to do, you want to reduce or eliminate redundant infrastructure, and you like to maximize local flexibility, those are all good reasons to support this bill, and I would urge you to do so.
Thank you, Terry. Any questions with Terry?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, could you give me a number of what percentage of the clients that you see might be drug or alcohol related?
Are you talking about comorbidity, people who have mental health issues plus?
In conjunction with?
Oh, geez, that's a really difficult question for me to answer, and I'm not sure that I have that information for you this morning.
Okay.
I would say that there are a significant number of adults that have a comorbid situation where they're mentally ill and they also have a chemical dependency issue. Per se, community mental health centers aren't all chemical dependency or addiction treatment centers. 7 of the 11 also perform that role as well. But I can try to get that information for you and give it to the committee.
I would appreciate it before tomorrow.
Yeah, she's looking how to spend it.
Sure.
Ken, out of the 11 that you represent, how many currently have functioning interagency teams, local interagency teams?
Well, Betty, I'm going to ask for your help on that. Is it 7?
Yeah. Okay, so 4 don't have any team.
And some of that is easy to understand if you take a look at the catchment area maps and you recognize the space between agency representation and, say, the Lemon District, where they do have the team set up, but they call upon them only when they're not active 100% of the time. That's the sort of flexibility, quite frankly, that we think we need to have locally.
Sounds like a good committee assignment. The other question, I might add that everybody that's testified this morning on any bill, make sure you sign in, please. Just on a side note, did this map get in Representative Bill Peterson's hand to have anything to do with county reorganization?
Not yes, sir.
Good answer.
Okay. I got further questions of Terry. Hearing none, further proponents of House Bill 1025, further proponents.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Sharon Sunshine, and I represent the Department of Social Services. And I wish to go on record this morning in support of House Bill 1025. The Department of Social Services has membership on all three of the committees that Betty Oldenkamp spoke to you about. We have membership on the Mental Health Advisory Council, the State Placement Committee, as well as the ICNC. As we send department personnel to these different committee meetings, we want to have individuals with an expertise, who have developed an expertise, and who will have our own department's perspective of what are the mental health issues facing the children that we serve. Oftentimes, the same person attends all three committees, and we do see the duplication and wish that efforts would be more focused. Our department feels that efforts need to be focused in order to assure understanding, joint efforts for change, quality services, and consistent progress. The Department of Social Services has a lot at stake as we look at the existence, quality, and advances in children's mental health services. We have custody of many children who will need the local mental health services for a resource in order to change their lives. We also provide supports and counseling or case management to a number of families who still have their children but still need a resource in the community where they can go. So our interest in and in having a more focused approach to mental health services in the state level is for our own purpose also, so that we can better advance progress in the mental health services for children. The local interagency teams are supported and attended by our staff whenever they exist. We know that's very important, and we welcome the fact that the local interagency teams will now not necessarily be focused, or with the change in the bill, the amendment, will not necessarily be focused simply on children with an SED diagnosis, but that it can go beyond that. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Anybody have any questions? Thank you very much. For the proponents of House Bill 1025, for the proponents. Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1025? Opponents. Seeing none, we'll close the committee testimony on House Bill 1025 to do committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hamm.
I move do pass on 1025.
Moved by Senator Hamm that House Bill 1025 go to the Senate floor. Do pass. Is there a second? Second by Senator Dietrich. Discussion on the do pass motion. Hearing none, all those in favor of the do pass motion will signify by saying aye. All those opposed, nay. And the Secretary will call the roll.
Dietrich.
Aye.
Hamm.
Aye.
McIntyre.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye. So, House Bill 1025 goes to the floor. Do pass. Senator Hamm, will you take this bill to the floor? Senator Hamm, it's okay. If you,
I think I have my hands full.
Okay. Then the chair will assign House Bill 1025 to the committee chairman, Senator Albers. Okay. You may, don't you want to adjourn? The committee on unfinished business will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
moved by Senator Sutton, second.
Second
by Senator McIntyre. All those in favor of adjournment say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.